Penguin Random House Audio presents No One Ever Asked by Katie Ganschert. Read for you by Georgina Marie. For my daughter, you have made my world so much bigger. The world is wrong. You can't put the past behind you. It's buried in you. It's turned your flesh into its own cupboard. Claudia Rankine. Brown v. Board of Education. On May 17, 1954, the Plessy v. Ferguson decision of 1896, which legalized state-sponsored segregation, was overturned. In a unanimous decision, the Supreme Court stated that separate educational facilities were inherently unequal. At the turn of the 21st century, education for black students was more segregated than in 1968. Prologue. An earthquake started it. The one in Haiti back in 2010. All those images and the media afterward had done their job. Entire buildings not just toppled, but flattened like sandcastles at high tide. Lifeless bodies left in the rubble. Small brown children streaked with blood, covered in ash. A cross left standing in front of a ravaged church building, and upon it a white Jesus, arms splayed wide in an offer of salvation. Camille Gray had stared at that particular image the longest. She was not a woman of passivity. When she was moved to action. And so, though she had never been to Haiti herself, she rolled up her sleeves, gathered a team of volunteers, and 5 months later gave the town of Crystal Ridge its very own citywide 5K. The media around the event produced pictures in sharp contrast to the ones that inspired the run. Bright-eyed children sporting Hope for Haiti t-shirts and wide, happy smiles. Adults of varying shapes and sizes, some who had trained and others who more obviously hadn't, pinning race bibs to their fronts. A giant banner at the finish line on Morton Avenue, right in front of the Pickle Pie Deli. Water tents and food carts and a live band and an ambulance on standby, just in case. That year's 5K raised $20,000 and left Camille with the euphoric feeling that came after a job well done. It was obvious to everyone. The race must continue. The following year, with the Haiti earthquake long since gone from the news, the people of Crystal Ridge ran for Crystal Ridge. Camille, a long-standing PTA mom, gathered together other PTA moms and decided the money would be split among the 7 schools that made up Missouri's highest-ranking district, thus creating the Crystal Ridge Memorial Day 5K, an event the town looked forward to with increasing anticipation every year. Everyone, that is, but Juanita Fine. Friends and family called her Nita, and often joked at the irony of her surname, as Nita was never actually fine with anything. Least of all, hordes of people standing on her front lawn, unfolding lawn chairs on the curb, and cheering on people who were running to raise money for a school district that seemed to have plenty. Juanita lived in the only house that remained in the city's business district. It had been her father's house before her, and his father's house before him, and she saw no reason to surrender it to developers. Sometimes, she suspected the town's annual race was nothing more than subterfuge, a plot to chase her away, because her 2-story brick home sat on Morton and Main, with a grocery store on the left and a law office on the right. And every year, that law office was one of the race's biggest sponsors, which meant, every year, there was loud music playing outside her home and a slew of volunteers handing out water and cheering the runners along as they stampeded across her grass. And every year, she made a phone call to the local police department to file a complaint. Last time, she spent 27 minutes telling a female police operator that Chewbacca had ruined her rose bushes. Chewbacca. That was another thing. The runners dressed in costumes. This year, the Crystal Ridge Police Department had finally provided Nita with a stack of bright orange cones, to which she fastened signs that read in bold lettering, "Stay off the lawn." She had planned to sit on her front porch swing and wave her cane at anyone who dared defy those signs. Except this year, there was a twist. Not only were there adults in costume, but great plumes of pink powder polluted the air, forcing her and her asthmatic lungs inside to watch from the window, wrapping the pane whenever any of the onlookers towed her property line. Most of them ignored her. So she watched, increasingly irate, as volunteers along two oblong tables snagged plastic bottle after plastic bottle, squeezing their contents into the air, creating bright cotton candy puffs that rained down like fairy dust. Just beyond them were the water pistols. Young folk wearing headbands brandished them like proud soldiers as they shot streams of pink water at the runners. And just beyond them, the Crystal Ridge Marching Band, banging their drums as they marched in formation. Thankfully, away from her. At 4:22 p.m., a cluster of racers approached, each one wearing a rainbow-colored tutu. Even the boys. In fact, two of them, full-grown, large-bodied boys, wore leotards. They were out of their minds, all of them. Nita scowled as a spray of pink hit her driveway. Enough was enough. She pushed open her front door, let in the cacophony of sound, placed her hands on her hips, and glared with the full force of her disapproval, as if doing so could make all of them stop. But nobody did. Nobody noticed her at all. The tutu-wearing runners kept running. The volunteers continued tossing clouds of pink into the sky. The marching band kept marching farther away. But then, the minute hand changed from 4:22 to 4:23. And something happened nobody could possibly ignore. Something happened that had never happened in the town of Crystal Ridge before. At least not that Juanita Fine could remember. Something that had been brewing ever since that horrible town meeting last July. A startling crack burst through the noise like a car backfiring. For a split second, in the infinitesimal span between the sound and the processing of it, Nita thought one had. Until it happened again. The crowd scattered. Onlookers trampled her cones, tables upended, bottles of pink cornstarch flattened underfoot like sandcastles at high tide. And through all the chaos, a blood-curdling, terrifying scream rose above the others. One that went on and on, and on. Even after everyone was gone, and all that remained was yellow police tape and a bright crimson stain on her green grass, Juanita Fine could still hear it. Part 1. Newton's First Law. Objects in motion stay in motion with the same speed and in the same direction, unless acted upon by an external force. 1. Before. Wipers squeaked against the windshield, smearing raindrops across the glass. The rhythmic sound filled the car as Anaya Jones idled in the driveway. Her hands trembled like her great-grandfather's. Even though he died when she was in first grade, she would always remember the exaggerated way they shook at the dinner table whenever he used silverware. She turned the key, and the wipers stopped at a 30-degree angle. All that could be heard was the pitter-patter of rain as she sat behind the steering wheel. A satchel lay open on the passenger seat, the new one her mother gave her before her first day of student teaching. The flap was open, revealing a corner of the science curriculum manual.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?